All right. So once again, thank you, brethren. And it's always a blessing to be in the midst of you and, bless and be blessed by you. I bring you love and greetings from, first of all, from the brethren here in the UK and then, Highland Park in the US and obviously from Kumasi in Ghana, whom I fellowship with very often via Zoom. So as Brother Richard indicated, we're going to talk about vision. And amongst Bible students, amongst the lost people, often vision comes with many definitions. First of all, when we consider the word vision, our attention could be drawn to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, which reads, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. And that is another, a very important part of the vision, the lost people often discuss. Again, we could talk about what happened to the apostle Paul on the, road of Damascus in Acts chapter 9 verse 12 after the incident, when he reported that and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Two different types of vision is indicated in this verse. The first one will be talked about later on, but the attention I wanted us to focus on was with regards to sight. And the next one could be concerning purpose. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, we read, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And lastly, the kind of vision, this list may not be exhaustive, but another kind of vision, which obviously Joel chapter 2 verse 28 talks about, and let's read the verse, says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. If we were to take each of these, it could take more than an hour. Each of these could be a subject worth of discussion on its own. But drawing close to the memorial, somewhere next week, I believe on Tuesday, I thought of which of these visions to share with us. And obviously, the attention drew more to the third one, which has to do with purpose. So we are going to focus our discussion mostly on this kind of vision. So knowing the type of vision to talk about, the theme text is Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 2. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 2, which says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. I know definitely well we might be wondering how this relates to vision, but I like the way the NIV puts this verse, and it says, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So with this, at the back of our mind, I think before we can actually zoom into the kind of vision we want to discuss and the 7 and 8 and Philippians 3:13, it would be important for us to consider the entire chapter. And it's a very popular chapter amongst us. So first of all, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And normally we read this when we, talking about witnessing, a very important verse. Then we come to the theme text, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Another popular scripture amongst us when we're referring to the resurrection of the dead and how they'll come back to life to be taught. So the fourth verse says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And especially with regards to this verse, I do not know how, to what extent, you know, science may want to prove or disprove it. But I think it is obvious that yes, we may be able to observe the processes God has put in place, but to actually understand or see how it kind of evolves could be very difficult. And I trust that that was what King Solomon was trying to prove here in verse 5. Part of my screen is hidden, so I'll move on to the next verse, which is verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And lastly, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And it's interesting how in the book of Ecclesiastes, throughout, the king was emphasizing all the things that are vain. And when I read the last verse here, my attention normally gets drawn to the words of King Ahab when he says that the person who puts on, and I'm paraphrasing, the one who puts on the armor to fight shouldn't boast as the one who puts is down. So as the lost people, perhaps irrespective of when we symbolize consecration, we all started with milk. And then we want to know when our youthfulness may be. And again, it wouldn't really matter how old we are, but once we become familiar with the truth, we grow into youthfulness, and that is where we are expected to do more for the Lord. And if we misuse that kind of usefulness, then obviously the words of the king here in the last verse, that childhood and youth are vanity, could apply. But thankfully, we are all putting ours to good use. So back to our theme verse. And first of all, Philippians 3 verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 2 saying, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Our emphasis or attention will be to try and harmonize the two. The apostle here is talking about one thing we should focus on, and the king is talking about 7 or 8 things to focus on. So we will try to harmonize the two by merging these 7 or 8 suggestions into that one thing, which will be our vision or our purpose, what to focus on as the lost people. And as the NIV put it, seven or eight ventures that we need to invest in as the lost people. So these lists are not exhaustive, as I indicated, and they are just thoughts from me. So we could add to them or perhaps disagree with some if appropriate. But the first thing I believe out of the eight that we could focus on, especially as the memorial draws close, is to put our trust in God. Why? Because the future is not certain, but God definitely is certain. We can trust Him. Going back to the scripture in Ecclesiastes 1, 11 verse 1, we read, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So we do not know how we're going to find the bread. We do not know when, but we know definitely that we shall find it after many days if we keep trusting the Lord. And again, Psalms chapter 1 verse 2 tell us, but his delight, that the person who trusts in God, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, indicating the focus we should have and trust we should put in God. And then the next is 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and that's highlighted, indicating how leaky of a vessel we may be, but knowing that if we keep trusting in God, that is actually the sure way to go. And then in future, as the apostle said, then shall I know even as also I am known. And Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25, talking about the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The next venture perhaps we could focus on, brethren, is to be faithful. So in verse 2, we read that we should invest in seven or eight ventures. And the number, not really the best when it comes to numbers, but I know that perhaps seven or eight could suggest completeness and abundance. And so being faithful means that we serve Him faithfully. And by service to Him, we consider our spiritual service, our service to the family, to the work, and to the lost people or the church. So we have a scripture from Luke chapter 16 verse 10, which reads, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So it's not, as the pastor indicates in one of the daily heavenly manners, it's not really about doing it perfectly, but doing it to the best of our ability. And doing it out of a pure mind, a pure heart, faithfully. And again, Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, even though this may not apply to the Laodicean church we are, you know, in now, but obviously the last part applies to everyone, I believe, which says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And lastly, Matthew chapter 25 verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So faithfulness is very paramount to our call. And as we indicated, doing to the best of our ability and not being perfect, as it were. The next thing, brethren, perhaps the next, the third adventure could be our endeavor to expand our talents, gifts and fruits of the Spirit. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, we read, "The likewise a competitor does not receive the crown unless he competes according to the rules." So the Lord has made the rules very clear to us. And if we follow these rules diligently, there is no way we shall fall. And the rules are evident in the scriptures. But we have talents and we have gifts and we have the fruits of the Spirit that we need to focus on. One of our devotions, Matthew chapter 5, you know, just a part of it, talks about cultivating the Beatitudes. And perhaps something I personally apply to my life is to focus on one Beatitude, because it means if we are able to put them in practice, then we are blessed, and indeed we want to be blessed by the Lord, especially on this side of the veil and eventually on the other side. So I think that the Beatitudes are attainable on this part of the veil. And if we focused on one, for instance, if we made it our agenda, perhaps this memorial year, because also we know the pastor indicated that, you know, every memorial is kind of a renewal of our passport somewhere in the sixth volume. So if that is actually the beginning of the year for the lost people, then next week could be the beginning of another year for us. We could make it our agenda to, or our purpose, our vision, to just focus on being pure in heart. But one interesting thing I realized is if you focused on one of these, you could attain all. And then with time, we could really be blessed, as the word used by our Lord mean, because that is what we want to be. And I believe that being given to us means it is something we can attain. So we could focus on the Beatitudes. Again, in Galatians 3, 22 and 23, also talk about the fruits of the Spirit, which are listed below: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, interestingly, I believe that if we focused on one, it could help us to easily attain the others. For instance, we could just focus on peace, being peaceful, and that would automatically mean we are practicing patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness. And that is for the third agenda. The fourth one is step out in obedience. And we need to be action-oriented, even when the results are not guaranteed. So there was something said by Paul that he planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There may be brethren amongst us who have talents along the lines of both planting and watering. But there's one thing we know for sure, and that is the increase will definitely come from the Lord. But we need to put what the Lord has entrusted in our care to work. And again, Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." So if we want things or situations to get better before we work for the Lord, those better times may never come. But the Lord, once he's blessed us with the Spirit, would expect us to put them to good use, as it was in the parable of the talents. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." So once the opportunity presents itself, we definitely want to take that and do things that will please the Lord. And lastly, for the fourth point, in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, it was indicated that to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of cows. So we don't want to try to save the tabernacle when we are not Levites. There are things the Lord has put in place for us to do, to touch, and others that we do not have to touch. And during our meetings, in our meditations, our prayers, we always indicate this to ourselves and remind ourselves of what the Lord expects us to do as his people, things to do, things not to do, and doing them diligently and obediently. So we could step out in obedience, and that could be the fourth adventure. The fifth one, brethren, is to prepare and not to panic. So from the theme text, and again we read, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So this verse connotes a possible disaster and the reason why we should prepare constantly and not to fear, but walk wisely as the Lord's people, and again to plan prayerfully and remain calm, because the focus is one, is to secure our crowns or to make our calling and election sure. And so if that is the focus, then all the noise and things happening around us would not let us lose that single focus. So we read from Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Lord is with us always, and that is why we should always be in this preparation mode and action mode without fear or panic, but doing things that would always please him. The sixth one is to be generous. So when we talk about generosity, we're looking at sharing our time, and obviously all these are resources to our disposal, but normally when we talk about resources, we're referring to financial resources and encouragement and love. Because some brethren may need one or two and not all. And so our ability to get close to our brethren and know how to be of great help and service to them, I trust, would mean we are really doing the proper investment in these seven or eight ventures. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, when we talk about love, obviously we get a better definition from the apostle here, telling us what love is and what love is not. So it reads, love is patient and is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So brethren, the seventh one could be to think beyond ourselves, thinking beyond ourselves. And beyond ourselves means we are extending our thoughts and our cares, our emotions, our all we have to the service of the truth, the church, and the kingdom. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, from the NIV version, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And again, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, from the ESV version. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And again, Romans chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. So these verses, I trust, the single thread that could run through them, could be selflessness, that we tend to care more for the brethren, watching ourselves. That is also very important. So while we extend the helping hand, we keep an eye on ourselves too, that we do not follow those who may be drifting and not willing to get themselves back on track. But yes, we have a duty of care for the lost people and for the truth, and to do what is expected of us as the lost people, especially with regards to selflessness, and make sure that we invest in this venture as well. So the concluding verse for this portion is from 1 John chapter 3 verse 18. The NIV says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And that is the purest way to demonstrate love to others, not just by words, but in actions. And again, prayer, just praying for the brethren, could be an action in this sense, that it shouldn't be, you know, something just physical, but remembering them in our prayers as we just did. And the last investment, which thankfully we've been able to get to, is that we expect God's increase. So we sow broadly and faithfully as the scriptures indicated to us, and then trust God for the harvest, because we can only do what is expected of us, but we are not really responsible for the germination of the plant. We can only sow and water, and we put our trust in God that it is going to bear fruit. But again, just as the farmer sows and does not need to uproot the seed every now and then to see whether it's growing, so should it be with us when we spread the word, that we trust God and then remain silent, that where the seed is growing in darkness and silence, it means that the work of God is bearing fruitage, and if it is his will, it will germinate and become obvious for everybody to see. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10 reads, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase you your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." So once we're able to do all these investments, we definitely know that God is going to do his part, and that will yield the increase. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 also reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So when we get the sentiments of giving up or feeling tired or stressed because of the lost work, we should remember that the end is more important than the beginning. And like King Ahab said, the one who wears the armor should not boast like the one who removes it. And I love the pastor's comments on that particular verse in 2 Kings from the manor. So brethren, we are bringing the talk to a close, and I just want to draw our attention to one of our devotions, which is called Close Your Eyes. And in Close Your Eyes, the pastor calls us to envision what is around us currently and what is expected to be beyond the current situation. And I believe that's a beautiful kind of vision that the lost people should always have at the back of our minds, and perhaps practice it often, not just to read the words, but to put them in practice, that we look at the current misery and woes and all the things happening in the world because of sin and depravity and death. But this should not be the focus. We do not need to focus more, a bit always, for a want of a better word. We do not need to focus always on the mishaps that are occurring around us in the world. But beyond this, we should be able to picture in our mental vision the glorious earth and the beauties that will come with that. So this is a powerful practice that even beyond the current situation, we are able to see visions into the future. You know, with the Apostle Paul, the scriptures termed it the third heavens and the third earth, and all that. And it's the same thing with us, that when we close our eyes and we are able to picture that we have received our crowns, and then we are serving the Lord diligently, we are being faithful and useful in the kingdom, helping to bring back humanity to perfection and all that. And that makes us happy because we are able to put our course and the activity we are going to do in the future in practice. Then as the master said to the scribe in Mark chapter 12, verse 34, you are not far from the kingdom. So may the Lord continue to bless our collective endeavors in making our calling and election sure. Amen.